From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Welcome back, everybody. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Championship number 18. They now pass the Lakers. They took care of business last night in the game you heard right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. How nice. The only game we could air turns out to be the clincher. There you go. We were not able to air the other four because of Chihuahua's baseball. The stars aligned perfectly. We had last night's game on and gave you a chance to hear the Celtics win championship number 18. Jaylen Brown, to no surprise, is your MVP, and the NBA season is now officially over until the start of the draft and free agency and the offseason. And now we've got one left, boys. We have the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, which means the Florida Panthers could do the same thing to the Oilers tonight that the Celtics did to the Mavs, and that is clinch the championship on their home ice in front of their home fans. 6 o'clock, ABC, that will air as we get going officially here on the program. Alberto Urueta is back with us, along with Michael Plundo, along with Utip Zay, and of course, the man you heard a moment ago, Adrian Broaddus. I'm Steve Kaplowitz, back with you for 2.5 hours today as we get you right up till 6:30, and then it's going to be Chihuahua's baseball, El Paso, and Sugar Land, the Space Cowboys, doing battle tonight and every night for the next six nights, starting at 6:30 tonight here on 600 ESPN El Paso with the voice of your El Paso Chihuahuas, the one and only Tim Haggerty. So as you might imagine, Adrian, we are busy today. We got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about, but the Celtics did exactly what we thought they would. They blew out the Mavs. This game was never close. And in fact, it was a game that, unless you're really a Celtics fan, you probably turned it off somewhere in the second quarter or even the second half because you realized that the game was over.
Yeah, I was trying to find reasons to watch the entire second half. I was just telling the guys here. You know, the interesting part about this matchup was I felt like Celtics came in with a ton of energy. That wasn't a shocker right there. They're playing at TD Garden with all the emotion right there. But they get the spark from all their supporting cast members. The crowd goes crazy when Kristaps Porzingis checks in briefly, and he was balling out. Al Horford looking for his first ring. He just won it. He was getting a lot of juice from the crowd. How about Peyton Pritchard? You mentioned it wasn't really close. That is exactly right. At one point, right before half, I thought, hey, Mavs could maybe stage a comeback. They cut it to 16 points with a two-pointer with under 30 seconds left. Peyton Pritchard, actually, forget that. It was under 10 seconds left. Peyton Pritchard grabs the ball on the inbound. You know it was going to him. He takes all of their halftime shots right before they go to the break, and he hits a buzzer beater right before halftime to make it a 19-point game at the half. And that's pretty much it right there. Boston was the better team. Jaylen Brown deserved the MVP. Jrue Holiday, credit to him. He played a fantastic finals. He could have also been finals MVP. Really liked what we saw from guys like Derek White, who are like blocking shots and not necessarily being an offensive guy, but really doing all the dirty things to win. I did not give this Celtics team a lot of credit throughout this final stretch, but they deserve all of it. They fell short two seasons ago against the Warriors, and this time around, they're on top. They win the finals, deservingly so.
That's right. Deservingly so is a good way to put it. And you're 100% correct. I mean, got to realize something, okay? Even though the Celtics have 18 championships, right? 18. Think about this, okay? This was, let's see, two, three, four, five. I think this is only their fifth championship since 1976.
That sounds right. I mean, this is their first since 08, and that's the last time you can really remember a previous nucleus for the Celtics being that relevant, with the nucleus of Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. We love that nucleus right there, and Rajon Rondo. But once that era ended in the early 2010s, yeah, this nucleus that's intact right now was birthed. I mean, it was drafting Jason Tatum, drafting Jaylen Brown.
I think I should be fifth since 81 because they won in 81 with Fitch. That's when they beat the Rockets in six. Okay. They won again in 84 when they beat the Lakers with Casey Jones. 2 years later, they beat the Rockets in 86 again. So they win in 81 and 86 over the Rockets. They beat the Lakers in 84. then they don't win another championship until 08, and then this one. So you think about it, their first title since 2008 when Doc Rivers was the head coach and Paul Pierce was your MVP. Meanwhile, like, the amazing thing to me is, okay, so since 81, you look at the Lakers, right? They won in 82, 85, 87, 88, 2000, 2001, 2002, and then 09, 2010, and 2020. I mean, that's a ton. The Lakers have done all, you know, they've done a lot of their damage in the last 45 years, whereas the Celtics, they've only won five. So they did their damage in the 50s and 60s. And they had some in the 70s. They won in 74 and 76. So we should make a note that, you know, they were still championship worthy in the mid-70s when Tommy Heinsohn was coaching them and John Havlicek and JoJo White were winning MVPs. But really, you know, the Lakers have been the more dominant of the two franchises over the last 40-plus years. But so many Celtics fans like Luis and people that remember those 60s dynasties and remember all the championships and the banners they were hanging out at the Boston Garden in those days. So, look, the Lakers and Celtics are the two most storied franchises in the history of the NBA. Celtics back on top. I was happy for them yesterday, despite being a Knicks fan, because, again, they are, whether you like them or hate them, one of the legendary teams in the history of professional sports. Not just NBA, professional sports.
You know, I'd also say what a run for, again, the city of Boston. I'm saying this, man, I mean, can we have a different city out there that has this kind of luck? I mean, Red Sox winning in 2018, which, by the way, might see a dry spell for titles going to Boston on the baseball side of things for maybe the next decade or so. Patriots, 14, 16, 18. Those are just the recent ones right there for what they did and how they had a great, great run of Super Bowls going their way. And then the Bruins in 2011. So, I mean, Boston's really been the title town over the last, I would say, 15 years, really. And I don't, you know, every year, if it's not, you know, the Celtics, it's the Patriots and, you know, so on and so forth.
Celtics have only lost five times in the NBA Finals. In contrast, the Lakers have lost 15 times in the NBA Finals. So the Lakers have been to the NBA Finals 32 times in their history. 32 times. It's amazing. The Celtics have been 23. So nobody has more trips to the NBA Finals than the Lakers. Okay? And if you wanted to know who is third after that, Golden State. Golden State has 12 appearances and 7 championships.
Is Cleveland in the top five there? Are they? Where are they at?
No. Cleveland has 1 title, 5 appearances. In
okay,
fact,
makes sense.
The Cavs are all recent. You know, they've lost in the NBA title in 2007, 15, 17, and 18.
Okay? I just lumped LeBron into like you the did. Cleveland history you right did. There. I was like trying to compare LeBron's title runs. I think LeBron's at 10. So that's, I mean, he's almost, how many more franchises does he have as far as finals appearances?
Oh, that's true. I mean, you got to realize that there are only a handful of teams with more than three NBA titles. Spurs have 5, Bulls have 6, Warriors have 7, Lakers have 17, Celtics have 18. And in case you're wondering who has 3, Miami, Detroit, and the Sixers. Detroit, all thanks to, the Bad Boys, and then in 04, and then most of the Pistons' losses came in the 50s when they were the Fort Wayne Pistons, and then later on in 88 with the Bad Boys when they lost, and then 05 when they lost. So realistically, those are your franchises. And the Sixers are fun because they haven't won their last NBA championship was 1983. They won in 55 and 67, and I believe they were the Philadelphia, I think they were the Warriors in 55. In 67, they were probably, then they were the San Francisco Warriors, all right? So, yeah, it's a little confusing. Actually, in 55, they were 56, I should say, they were the Philadelphia Warriors. Then they became the San Francisco Warriors. Now, obviously, the Golden State Warriors. It's very confusing.
So you're telling me right now LeBron has more finals appearances than the Sixers do as a franchise, the Knicks as a franchise, the Pistons, the Heat, and the Bulls?
No, the Knicks have 8 appearances in the NBA title. 8. But a lot of them were years ago. Like, they went in 51, 52, and 53, lost all 3. Then they win in 70, lose in 72, win in 73, lose in 94, and lose in 99. So the Knicks have been to the finals 8 times. They've just won twice.
So LeBron's been 10 times. So LeBron has been there more than the Knicks have been as an entire franchise.
Let's put it this way. LeBron has been to the NBA finals more than every team but 3. Okay,
that's insane.
Every team in the NBA but 3. Warriors, Lakers, Celtics. Other than that, he tops them all.
Wow, there's a good LeBron case right there.
And if you're wondering who has never been to the NBA Finals, there's 5 franchises. Hornets, Clippers, Grizzlies, T-Wolves, Pelicans. That's it.
Wow, the Clippers of the last 10 years, how much they've committed to resources around that team, and they could not make a finals, not even an appearance. That's a disgrace. OKC, they've made the finals once, but they lost, obviously. That was against the Heat when, you know, it was the baby Thunder team, and they lost against Miami. So yep. That's their only finals appearance. They might go back to the finals with this current nucleus that they have led by SGA.
It's so true. It is, and again, that's a fun part about the NBA as we start things off here on this Tuesday edition of the program. 505-6009, our telephone number. Alberto, no real surprise yesterday. I mean, we all thought it was going to be Boston, although Adrian picked with his heart, not with his head. He said Dallas, but we all kind of had a feeling this would happen.
Yeah, the Celtics were the superior team all season, and although they faced a little to no adversity coming on to the finals, they rallied together and they get it done. So yeah, it's a disappointing game if you were a basketball fan. Though it just wasn't a close game there. It just wasn't a close game there at the end. So yeah, it was a little disappointing. I definitely turned it off, but I'm glad they got a win. And you know what? Something I haven't heard you guys mention is I really liked Jason Tatum's MVP speech. You know, he kind of credits the guy that didn't have the finals I know he wanted, and I'm sure that was on the forefront of his mind all night, and it'll be
Jaylen Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Jaylen Brown. It'll be on the forefront of his head till the next season. So just to kind of give credit to that guy, that's really cool.
All right, let's go to the phones. I want to hear what kind of conspiracy theory Gator Richard has for us today, quarter past, as we get going on the program. Go Gators. What's going on?
Go Gators. How about them Gator baseball, man?
I'm telling you, they've been fun. They've been fun. They could win it all.
Yeah, well, they're still in it.
There you go.
They weren't supposed to be there, but unlike last year where they should have done the mercy kill, but they let them play like 3 more innings and like batted themselves out of it, I guess. I don't know how to describe that.
What do you have for us today? Let's hear.
All right. So I called it Boston in 5. Ask Adrian. I sent him a text.
Yep.
And I said it on the air, so I don't know.
Do you feel vindicated? Do you feel good about yourself knowing you called it the way it happened?
Well, not really, because that game 4 was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you know, to lose by 40 and then come back and, you know, smoke them the next game just so they could play at home. And you say that that's not a conspiracy to, you know, milk one more game out of these finals. But it is what it is, I guess.
There you go.
Hey, so I did have a question. Did you see what Ohtani did yesterday?
You talking about the home run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 home runs.
Yeah, I saw those. Yeah. I mean, look, he's a machine, man. He is a machine. There's no other way to put it.
And that second one didn't even look like he got all of it either. It looked like it was kind of like, you know, like a half swing, and it still went like 400 yards.
Feet.
400 feet.
Now, let me tell you something. If he hit a ball, 400 yards, we'd be talking about that for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I meant. Come on, Steve.
I do.
All right, man. Hey, so I did want to ask you something. Are we going to do the lunch thing like anytime this year, or are we going to keep talking about it?
Adrian, are we going to do the lunchtime?
Yeah, we
got to
make it happen. Yeah, he hits me up like morning of though, Steve. So we got to get a little bit of planning.
All right. Hey, so we could do it like July 3rd if you want, or you know, like that's not the day of. That's
July
3rd
is like 2.5 weeks from now. What do you have? You have all plans until then? We can't go sooner.
Yeah, we can go sooner. I'm just saying.
All right, listen, Adrian, coordinate it with Gator Richard. He owes us anyway.
Okay, we got a couple friends here, Gator Richard. We got Michael Plundo. We got Alberto Retta.
Oh, my God.
We got Zay Galindo.
You're going to make him buy all five people lunch? Are you serious?
Yeah, bring young Sheldon, too.
Oh, yeah. No, Lane's out of town. You're lucky. Lane's out. So, and he's got an appetite.
Yeah, we'll get him a gift card then.
Yeah, that kid can eat. So be careful with him. I'm just telling you. He's got a big appetite. But okay. We'll plan it. We'll go from there. Looking forward to it. Appreciate the phone call. Gator Richard getting us going here, 18 past the hour. Andy is back from the El Paso Chihuahuas. He will give us the lowdown on the homestand, which starts in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So we'll do that right after Charlie One, who's back with traffic.
To join the party here, we got Alberto, we got Andy, you, we got the whole crew in the back. It's a whole party again today. I love it.
And you were at the last homestand on the craziest day ever, the 15-1 comeback win.
That's right. I was just telling Andy, like, I can't believe that is probably the best baseball game I'll ever go and see. 15 runs in the comeback, end up winning 17-16. It doesn't get better than that.
What would the college football equivalent be of a 15-1 come from behind win?
Honestly, that's got to be somewhere in the realm of like being down 14-50 in like the starting, you know, going into the second half, which would be barely enough time to even get all that time back. You know what I mean? That's honestly how drastic it probably is.
Yeah, that would be kind of crazy, because the interesting thing is in baseball, you could get behind 15-1 in like the third inning and still have six innings to come back. But in football, if you're down, let's say 45-3 in the second quarter, it's going to be very difficult to try to come back and win.
Yeah, you have to be almost perfect because of the time limit. You know, baseball doesn't have that, but, I mean, they strung together runs that inning, and I guess you could say that was their time crunch. They did it all in one hit.
No doubt. I mean, Andy, you think about it. You can't score unlimited touchdowns on one possession. The most you can get is seven, where in baseball, you can score as many times as you want.
That's right. Yeah, that clock just keeps ticking in football. You got to keep mind of that, so.
Did you hear about the new rule today, by the way, that's coming around AAA involving the automatic balls and strikes?
I did not.
I believe it's starting June. I got to double check if it's the 23rd or the 25th.
It's probably the 25th, because the 23rd is through the first half of the season.
Okay. So starting in on the 25th of June, make sure. Yes, that is right. All AAA baseball games will use the automated ball strike challenge system as opposed to full ABS, which had been used for half the week.
Got it.
So
okay,
apparently, Major League Baseball found that fans and players, they like the challenges more than just the fully automated ABS. So now there will always be essentially balls and strikes called with the challenge system of the three challenges in place for every single game for the six-game series starting on the 25th of June.
Yeah, so that means I guess we're adopting the Friday, Saturday, Sunday rules.
Yes.
Which I agree with, actually. I love the human element of the umpire, and then you have to challenge it if you disagree.
And it's kind of interesting also. I think I think the fans like it. I'll be honest with you. I think the fans enjoy it because they get to hear the umpire say they're challenging the call. They get to look on the video board and see the pitch, where it's located, seeing exactly if it's a ball or a strike. And even though it takes about an extra 15 seconds or so for the challenge to take place, that computerized way of showing the ball, fans dig that more than knowing that the umpire is calling it exactly the way it should be called based on a computer or robot ump.
Yeah, I love it. I'd be very curious to see when it gets to MLB, if it ever does.
Oh, they're saying by 2026.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Challenges could take place starting 2026.
That's sooner than I would have thought, actually.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But the beauty of Major League Baseball is they kind of use AAA as a testing ground.
Yeah, that's right. And I do agree with the current system, so I'm excited that we're fully adopting that starting on the 25th.
Excellent. All right, so we have Miles Morales bobblehead giveaway on Friday, and then Saturday We're doing the Fireworks Spectacular. These are all 6:35 games, by the way, up until Sunday, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the Fireworks Show will be rock and roll
this weekend. Yeah, we got Kiss, AC/DC, some Stones in there. It's going to be a really great show, and of course, rock and roll really lends itself to some fireworks, so we're going to have some big pops. It's going to be a good show.
Is that supposed to be Slash as Chico? Is that the idea? Because he has the hat, the sunglasses. It looks like he's got a little tattoo of the Chihuahuas on his. Is that supposed to be the Slash theme?
I'll let you interpret that.
Did you design it?
I did not. No. Eileen Serna, a great graphic designer, she does a lot of the artwork for us at the ballpark. But
you have seen it, correct?
Yes, I have seen it.
Okay. That's awesome.
But we can't, I guess, explicitly say it was Slash because
he'll sue you. So yeah,
so that's just rock and roll, Chico.
You don't want a lawsuit with Slash, but I do like it. I do think it's definitely interesting. So that'll be on Saturday with the Rock and Roll Fireworks Show right after the ball game, and then last game of the series will be Sunday. It's Bark at the Park night as well. That's always a fun one. Is this the second Bark at the Park night of
correct,
the season?
Correct, yeah. Second of four or five, I believe. Limited number of these promotions. Just inviting all of our fans to come on out to the ballpark. Bring man's best friend to our nation's pastime. They're great events. Entry for all dogs has to be at the Missouri Gate. That's in beyond the left center field. And then you just have to have your updated vaccinations and shot records, and we'll be good to go.
Excellent. epchihuahuas.com for tickets. That's epchihuahuas.com. By the way, we should probably make this mention now. If you want to go to the July 4th fireworks shows on the 3rd and the 4th, because there's two nights, don't wait till it's too late. Buy your tickets now, because that is also going to be a very special celebration as we get ready for Independence Day.
Yeah, those are very sought-after nights for El Pasoans. So, yeah, we have two shows, July 3rd and July 4th. Going to be great. We got an extended show on the 4th, of course, to celebrate Independence Day. But like Steve said, get your tickets now. It's imperative that you do so, because those are going fast.
Have we released yet the Independence Day July 4th caps, or is that still waiting to come out?
No, we have those ready to go. Stay tuned to our social media. We'll be announcing both the hat and the process of how you can get that hat, as well as our auction jersey. The team is going to wear a specialty Stars and Stripes jersey on the 3rd and the 4th that will raise money for the El Paso Chihuahuas Foundation.
Okay, give me without giving us details, and I already have an idea what the hats are going to look like because I've seen the big league caps, so that kind of gives me an idea. If you follow Major League Baseball, you realize that minor league kind of mirrors the majors, so we know what that's like. As far as the jerseys, those I have not yet seen. Give me your thoughts and input on them. Will these we always see every year something different. How about this year's version?
Yeah, of course, red, white, and blue. But
boy, you are really going out on a limb today. Holy smokes, Andy.
We have a special logo that was created for this one. It's not going to match the hat because New Era designs those hats, but there's a special logo on the jersey that we're pretty pumped about.
Is this logo designed throughout all of minor league baseball, or is this specifically done by the Chihuahuas?
Specifically done by the Chihuahuas. It's our deal.
Look at you. Yeah. You said, screw baseball. We're doing our own thing, and we're going to do something completely different for all of our fans, and that's part of the fun. That's what it's about, right?
Yeah, we're pumped up. It's going to be a very, very cool jersey, and yeah. It'll be up for auction.
And, you'll be able to get those in a couple of weeks once we get closer and closer to to the 4th of July. All right. Terrific stuff. Great to see you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for coming by. And get those tickets now starting tonight, because we have six nights of baseball, 6:35 first pitch, and then 6:05 on Sunday, all night games with your El Paso Chihuahuas.
We'll see you guys at the ballpark.
There he is. He's Andy Emfeld. Bill is out right now. Starting this Friday, $50 to Chelitos for just $25. Folks, there are two locations at Chelitos. First, there's 2400 North Mesa Street, and then the downtown location at 115 North Mesa. We were lucky enough today to go to Chelitos. And Adrian, who has frequented the downtown location, all I could tell you is this. We ate and ate and ate and ate. And it started with some incredible appetizers that they brought out for us. That were absolutely fantastic. In fact, you think about what we ate a little while ago, Adrian. A lot of great seafood. Terrific shrimp cocktail was brought out. Then we went to the tacos. Then there were the burgers, the fries. My goodness gracious. The food was absolutely outstanding. This is going to be a terrific dining deal come Friday.
Yeah, I love Chelitos. Huge fan. Edgar, big shout out to him and the great team out there. They did a wonderful job with us earlier today. The appetizers with the ceviche, Steve, and then the aguachiles. I love those. The green aguachiles were my favorite. Then we got the al pastor tacos that were fantastic. That's the ones that I dove into. I had a chance to try their torta, which was outstanding. And then we washed it off with one of their agua frescas, which I brought one to Alberto because he didn't get the invite today, and I felt bad for him, so I ended up getting him agua fresca so he could savor a little bit.
Now, Kate didn't get the invite today, and neither did Michael Plundo today. It was just for the regular staffers, so that's what happened.
Right.
By the way, Alberto, how was that agua fresca?
It was really good. It was super refreshing, and I came in like burning up from the heat, so it was just what
I needed. So it took it did the job for
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. It hydrated me perfectly.
Fantastic. Kate, I know you have been fortunate enough to go with us on some of these dining deal trips. We will get you to another one sooner rather than later, but this is definitely one of those that you're going to want to put on your hit list, especially because it's right across the street from campus.
I think I'm going to. I definitely will. I'm looking at the pictures as they're scrolling across your screen right now, and they look really good. But I've been on – actually, I went on my own expedition in food in El Paso the other day, and after 2 years of living in El Paso, I finally had Chico's Tacos.
Hey! Yeah. Took you 2 years.
It took me a long time. I will say it was good, but I think I would be more interested in going right here to this dining deal as I'm looking across the pictures on your screen.
Chelitos is the way to go. I'm happy you said that. And the best part is this, okay? I know you're a student. I know you're on a budget. The idea of getting $50 to Chelitos for $25 where you can go treat some of your teammates and then all of you guys go together and just chow down, that's the idea. That's the whole concept of what makes this dining deal so great.
It sounds perfect. It sounds perfect for football players, and it sounds perfect for me right now. As hungry as I am, Steve, you better take these images off your screen because I'm starting to salivate over here.
I will.
Guys, they also offer a lunch special. This is actually the UTEP location, so there you go. A special plug for you, Cade. Right across campus for you. Agua Fresca included $10.99, 11 to 3 on weekdays. So that is their lunch special that they're running right now. And they've got $6 Burger Tuesdays. They brought out the Junior Burger to us, Cade. And that Junior Burger is not a Junior Burger. That was three patties right there. It was outstanding. And they even got a burger challenge that's going viral on social media, too.
Yeah, the burger challenge is definitely something we should tell Kate about. So there it is. You got nine patties. You have nine slices of American cheese, nine slices of provolone cheese. You've got a bucket of, you have the fries all around it. It's about a 3 pound meal. And then you got to finish that and also a soda pop in a half an hour. Otherwise, it's $45.
That's crazy. I'm looking at this right now, and I wasn't as jealous of not being able to go this time. But as I continue to look at these, I'm starting to get more and more jealous that I wasn't there.
Now, I will ask you this question. Could you take care of this burger challenge and knock down the nine patties and fries and a soda in a half an hour?
I don't think so. I'm looking at that, and I would have to be real hungry, Steve.
18 slices of bacon.
No.
Cade, if you had to phone a friend, who's doing this one?
Well, Otis Pitts, right? Because he thinks he can eat 125 wings.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have to phone Otis Pitts on this one.
But Pitts said 2 hours for the wings. This is a 30-minute job for the burger.
Right.
In fact, you know who else tried doing this? Who couldn't get it done, but he got it. He tried anyway.
Who?
I'm going to give you a hint. You hear him on this radio show, but he's not with this radio station. He is an anchor for KVIA Television.
Colin.
Paul Cicala.
Oh, Paul.
Yes. Paul Cicala tried.
Paul tried this?
Yeah, Paul, I just saw it on his Instagram.
Paul ate the burger. He finished
Credit
the burger in
wow.
30 minutes, but he couldn't finish the fries.
Alberto's showing me right now, actually, as we speak.
We need to get some post game from Paul Cicala on this challenge, don't you think? We need to get Cicala on the show and get a little thoughts on this thing. And I want to know what kind of damage that did to his stomach afterwards, don't you?
Yeah, I think we need a full rundown, full breakdown for Paul Cicala. Love the video. De La Story did a great job with him as well. It was an excellent video that we got a chance to check out. Paul almost had it. I would have just downed the fries, man.
I know, he was so close. But, I mean, that's the strategy. Do you eat the fries first and then go to the burger, or do you have that burger first and hope you have enough room for the fries? I don't know. Plundo, could you take care of that burger challenge?
Absolutely not. I need more time than 30 minutes.
Okay. But if you had an hour, could you do it?
I think an hour I could do it. I think an hour is more fair.
Interesting. Interesting.
The time limit doesn't scare me as much. It's more the amount of food.
That's what I was going to say. And you are a student athlete who is supposed to take massive calories because you burn them so fast and eat that all the time.
Right. I usually eat food very fast, and I don't know if I can get all that down, Steve. I mean, that's a lot. I'm going to need to talk to Paul and see what he said afterward. I think that's going to be a good post-game analysis.
Chilitos, folks, this Friday, dining deals, $50 for just $25. We'll come back. Hour number two is next, right here at 600 ESPN El Paso. Come back. Full house. We've got Cade McConnell hanging out, Alberto Dueta here, Michael Plundo, UTEP Zay, Adrian Broadus. I'm Steve Kaplowitz with you. Well, we're not getting Paul Cicala for at least 30 minutes. I had no idea that they do 4, 5, and 6 o'clock newscasts. God, it's like our show. They're on forever. So they just did an hour newscast. They're following up with another 30-minute cast, and they go back at 6. It's a lot of news, boys. So maybe we'll be lucky enough to get Cicala at the 5:30 time to talk about that burger challenge.
I'm looking forward to it, man. We got to hear from himself.
I'm looking forward to it also. Meanwhile, Esteban gets in on the program. Rajon Rondo is my favorite all-time NBA player. So he loved Rajon Rondo. While Noah Guerrero gets in on Twitter and X, not much else the critics can say about this Celtics team anymore. They played with the pressure of being heavy favorites all season long, and it was just dominance from start to finish. Not to mention they will bring back this exact same team next season. That comes from @TheNoah_G here on the show.
I'll say this about that. With Jaylen Brown winning the finals MVP, and you have somebody like Jason Tatum, maybe that kind of gives him, you know, a little carrot kind of dangling in this situation where he's got to go out and, hey, I want to chase this. I want to get another title, and I want to be the finals MVP this time around. Tatum didn't have the best finals stretch here against the Mavs.
No, he didn't. But didn't need to. You're right. That was kind of interesting. I mean, Jaylen Brown played lights out. By the way, I don't know about you, but I thought that was the most ridiculous contract he signed during the offseason, and thought that was just an insane amount of money to give a guy that, quite frankly, I didn't know if he would be up to the challenge. Well, he's showing us right now that that's the best investment Boston made this offseason.
Well, every offseason it was like, who could we trade Jaylen Brown for? If you were Boston, it was like one offseason it was like the Kawhi sweepstakes. Could Jaylen Brown be the trade chip to get Kawhi Leonard away from the Toronto Raptors? And you know, another offseason, or actually that was the San Antonio Spurs, but you know what I'm saying. Another offseason it was like Paul George. Can they use Jaylen Brown to get Paul George in a trade? So he is been subject of so many trade discussions, let alone being a superstar on this team, yet he gets and breaks the bank and he delivers at the highest level in the NBA Finals. They didn't really need a star. They all kind of played like a true team this time around, and I loved how they developed it. They did it through the draft. They didn't do it through buying all these stars. They acquired some of them through trades like Porzingis and Holiday, who ended up being difference makers for them, but they really had a grassroots team built through the draft.
I feel like the days of buying talent are over. I do. I feel like, other than Miami, you can look back and say that most of the champions we've seen in the NBA over the last 15 years have all been teams that have been put together the right way. And the idea of the super teams are gone. And I feel like the one team that ended that for the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets. I do. When Brooklyn tried to put together that super team and thought they had it, when Durant and all them joined up, and that just imploded worse than ever, I feel like the rest of the NBA took notice and said, you know what? That might not be the way to do it anymore. That's it. Well, you know what? Let's just build it through the draft. Let's build it through free agency. Let's build it the right way versus trying to do, let best friends play together and see if that works out.
It was like the start of the end, right? I mean, it was the start of the end of the super teams. Now, the other super teams that are trying to be assembled that haven't worked out. You can look at the Phoenix Suns. That's Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and they just acquired Bradley Beal last offseason. That didn't work out. And so now these multiple examples are piling up of not working out. It's role players that make it happen. It's guys like Derek White who are going to block shots and do the dirty work for you that are going to make it happen. I also like some of the role players that Dallas has on their team. They're just not as experienced as some of those role players that the Celtics had.
No, you're right. But you look at Dallas, that is not a super team. The Celtics were not put together like just that. The Denver Nuggets were not put together as a super team. And then you can look at some of the others that we've seen over the years. Milwaukee, no.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's the one where, hey, they go all in on Damian Lillard this past offseason. I'm not saying a super team, but they may have tried to have an iteration of some of the other teams. And to your point, Steve, it didn't really work out this past year.
I was talking about the 2021 Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA title.
Oh, definitely. That team is all grassroots. Giannis drafting him outside the top 10 and developing him into a top three player in this league. Yeah. I mean, that's outstanding.
We could call the 2020 Lakers the last super team that to win an NBA title.
Possibly, because that the two seasons before when they acquired Anthony Davis, that was seen as like a superstar duo right there. Big three, that's not a reality. That doesn't happen really anymore.
No, that's true. Anyway, we might see a shift as far as the NBA goes. All right, you want to talk about it? We'd love to get your thoughts on it. 505-6009, our telephone number. Enrique Ortiz getting in on the discussion via Twitter and X. With the Celtics winning a record in 18th NBA title, does that make it easier for Northeast sports? Is Boston a baseball town or basketball town? What would you rather have, the most World Series or NBA titles? It's a fascinating question. It really is. I know what the Yankees will tell you, most World Series. Wouldn't even be a question, you know? Then again, the NBA has been kind of irrelevant in New York. But let's just take Boston, for example. Would you call Boston more of an NBA town or a Major League Baseball town if you had to pick one of the two?
Right now or all time?
Both.
Right now, I would say basketball. I would say people are abandoning the Red Sox right now, as it stands right now. And all time, I might even go... basketball. Right now, I would also throw football in the mix prior to the last 3 years. I mean, it's been more of a football versus both baseball and, basketball.
Understand this, though. I mean, the Celtics have been relevant since the 50s, right? The Red Sox have been relevant since the turn of the century in the 19th century. So that's really when you start to think about that, or the 20th century, I should say, the 20th century. So they have a longer track record, but Boston was, they weren't winning titles forever. They hadn't won a title since Babe Ruth all the way up until I think the 90s. It was a long way, or the 2000s,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, 04, right?
Yeah, long wait. So I go Celtics. I think it's more of a basketball town than a baseball town just because the Celtics have been so good for over the course of all those years. They won titles in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They skipped the 90s. And then they started winning in the 2000s.
We talked a lot about the Lakers earlier. What about L.A.? Where would you say that would go? That's a tough one. Throw football out the window, right? Yeah. Because they can't decide what team they want in L.A. And we could even ask the Cali guy over here, too. But yeah. L.A. is an interesting one right there.
So I would – okay, listen. If it was up to me, just me, I would say L.A. is a baseball town with the Dodgers. I would still put Dodgers over Lakers, although it's tough. But I would still say – if you had to ask everybody in L.A., Dodger baseball would still win a popularity contest.
That is the most unfair question of all time, Steve. I mean, I'm thinking about influence outside of L.A. I'm thinking about how much you walk around and you see people wearing certain things. I think I slightly lean Dodgers, but, I mean, tomorrow I might tell you Lakers. That's how close it is.
It is close. It is really close. And, by the way, the Lakers have won 17 championships. So they've also been, just like the Celtics, dominant ever since they were in Minneapolis as the Minneapolis Lakers. So they've been great, too. But I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll go Dodgers because look at what they have right now. I mean, you just look at what they've done. They've built a super team. I mean, they really have. They just keep spending like it goes out of style. They don't care. And they can also put a lot more fans at Dodger Stadium than you could fit it it's not Staples
crypto.
anymore. It's
crypto.
Crypto.com
arena.
Yeah, crypto.com arena. That's right.
Yeah, I That's why I'm leaning a little bit of the Dodgers. I think that, you know, with what they've built in a super team, and I'm thinking culturally here, maybe over numbers, just from being from LA and in the area. When you walk around, what do you see more of? Do you see people wearing Dodgers hats? Do you see people wearing Lakers jerseys? And it is close, but I think I'm going to have to lean the Dodgers here, just by a hair.
Okay. By the way, after Lakers and Dodgers, who is third? I mean, that's the hardest question ever because
the Rams.
The Raiders.
In LA, it's Galaxy. It's LA Galaxy.
No, it's the Raiders. The 49ers or the Raiders,
no,
guys.
It's the Rams.
They had Ibrahimovic and David Beckham.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Not
Adrian's mad at me.
The Galaxy, I don't know. I mean, think about this. It's not the LA Kings.
No.
It's definitely not the Anaheim Angels.
Thank you for that. Yes, no, I know that.
Right. So,
not the Clippers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So they're all. Now, you know what you could say? You could make a point that after the Lakers and the Dodgers, it's USC football.
Good one. That's a great one.
No, that's a good one, but if we're sticking in pro sports, at least, I definitely think that it's the Rams. And I'm getting a lot of pushback from other people. You just said it was the Galaxy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And he just said it was the 49ers. Understood a little bit. There's a big 49ers influence, but it is the Rams, 100%.
If we're going all sports, including college, do we go USC third behind Dodgers, Lakers? USC football.
It's also really tough, but I still think I'm leaning to the Rams. I really am. I mean, think about their presence back before they went to St. Louis, and there's a lot of the older generation that, I mean, is diehard Rams.
Rams can't even sell tickets to their own fans at their own stadium. They don't even have home games, Cade.
I understand that. I understand that. But at the same time, you're throwing. I understand you're throwing ticket sales at me here, but I'm talking culturally here, Adrian. I'm talking what you go when you see when you walk around, and what you see on billboards, how you see people wearing jerseys, what they decide to rep when they're talking on social media, what you see on Instagram in the stories. That's I'm talking about more of the inner workings here. And I think that the culture is stronger behind the Rams than any other pro team. But I think USC definitely rivals it.
By the way, okay, so let's just put Rams, and then we'll talk USC. But here's the question. Best of the rest. You got Clippers, Chargers, Angels, Kings, Mighty Ducks. Like, you could basically throw them into a hat, shake it up, pull one out, and there you go. Because it's not like any of those teams really have a dedicated base over the others. Am I right or wrong there?
You're probably right. If I had to choose one as far as, again, like culturally, which has the support from the city, I would, as terrible as they have been, I would say the Angels. There's more Angel fans than any of those other teams that you just named in the area.
More than the Kings?
Probably, yes. Yes, because I think that people are just more baseball fans than they are hockey fans on a consistent basis. And so,
interesting.
You know, you will see people supporting the Angels probably more than you will see people supporting the Kings.
Where does UCLA fall on the spectrum?
Close in the mix with probably all the rest of those. You know, that's I would say it falls a little bit behind all the rest of that melting pot, but it's probably right in the mix with them as well.
I was going to ask you if, I mean, but they're definitely behind USC.
Correct.
That's for sure.
They're far behind USC. They are far behind USC.
All right. It's a good it's a very interesting storyline.
It's a very interesting topic. You could definitely get a bunch of other California people on here too, and it would be a very strong debate.
Last question. Most popular sports team, period. College, any sports in the state of California. Like, state of Texas, we could probably, no, we will say the Cowboys,
yeah,
right?
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt. But California, statewide, what's the team?
I would actually say Lakers. I would say that Dodgers is for LA, but in terms of all of California, I would say Lakers.
You would, even though you've got the Warriors in Northern California.
I would say so, yeah.
There's the 49ers.
Yeah, so I thought 49ers would probably be the team that most would side with. But how big of a following do the 49ers have in Southern California?
It's strong. It's strong. But like when they were playing there would be, you know, Niners and Rams games or things like that, like you would see, you know, 60-40 in L.A. That's around what I would put it at. So okay. It was still really, really strong in Southern California.
I'll say this. I once went to a Raiders-Chargers game in San Diego.
Oh, here we go.
And I would say it was like 70-30 Raiders to Chargers in San Diego. Couldn't believe it. I was looking at that crowd going, my God, the Raiders are just taking over the stadium.
In San Diego?
In San Diego.
Rough.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Well, now you know why they're in now you know why they're in LA.
I mean, I think the fan base presence was better in San Diego than it is in LA.
Yeah, and that's saying something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, absolutely.
Hey, right. Real quick, Sean McConnell texts into the program. Clippers still have a good base because they're good. Kings are next because of the same. Ducks are after that. Angels are dead last because the state has completely given up on Artie.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I'm talking about over – I'm not talking – Pops, I appreciate that. I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about over the course of the team's history. You know, I'm not saying the Angels have been a great, you know, team in history, but over the course of time, the support for the Angels in Anaheim and throughout Los Angeles, and even outside of that, like, I will still see people wearing, you know, Angel stuff and supporting the Angels outside of California.
In the early 80s, they had Reggie Jackson, who was one of the biggest names in baseball as the face of that franchise. And you look over the years, I mean, again, Mike Trout the last dozen plus years, and now you had Shohei together. It's a shame that with all the star talent that franchise has acquired over the years, they have nothing to show for it.
Wasted. Absolutely wasted. And I could not be more frustrated as a fan.
Although, I think it was it 01 when they won the World Series and beat the Giants?
02.
All right. So at least they have a World Series to show for it.
Right. I was barely born for it. So I could say I was alive for Angels World Series.
You might never see another one again in your lifetime.
Yeah, probably right.
All right. 19 past the hour. I promised to talk about what Cade was doing earlier today before he showed up. We'll do that next, right after Charlie Wan in this traffic update. Meanwhile, we've got Cade McConnell sitting in with us today for the next hour until we say hello to Tim Haggerty during our final countdown to get you ready for Chihuahuas baseball. Cade has been busy. He had the opportunity to head someplace today that, I don't know, have you been to Fort Bliss before? Or is this your first trip out there to the base?
First trip actually on the base, obviously driven by many, many times, but I've never actually got to go on the base or had something to go do out there. But today, the entire football program, trainers, coaches, we all went down there. And thank you so much to the guys out at Fort Bliss that had us. We got to go do a workout with some of their, you know, infantry and some of their guys down there that were available and that were going to go do a workout. So we went down there. They bussed us down this morning. We got there by 6 a.m. It was right before the sun came up, so it wasn't too hot until the end. Mm-hmm. But we did some really cool workout stuff. We got to kind of see what they do, how they started off in the morning by saluting the flag. They fired the cannons. And then we kind of started getting after it with some workouts, and we got a little competitive. There was a little Army versus football action. There was some mixing with it where we had teams where we kind of meshed together. Some relay race type of stuff, and then we got to kind of experience what they have to go through when, you know, we had the backpacks on with a ton of weight in them and the rucks, and we had to, you know, run a mile and a half, and we had to carry people as if they were wounded in battle.
So you had basically, you crammed basic training into one morning out there at Fort Bliss today.
We really did, and it was a killer workout, let me tell you. And those guys are very in shape, and they are used to doing stuff like that, and we are not. We had, you know, one of the things we had to do was carry somebody, you know, as if they were wounded around a mile and a half, and you're carrying it with four guys, but we had a 300-pound dude on there.
Oh my
so,
God.
I mean, I don't know how many 300-pound guys are in the Army, but it's not easy to carry somebody on those. And we were running a mile and a half, and we were doing it for time, and it was tough. It was really, really tough. I remember getting done with it, and I was like, geez, I am dizzy right now.
So wait a minute. You had to carry somebody while you were running a mile and a half.
It was Chris Carter, one of our newer offensive linemen that just transferred in, I believe from Georgia Southern. But he just transferred in. He's about 6'7", 285, 290.
And you had him on your back for a mile and a half?
He wasn't on the back. He was on, I don't know exactly what it's called. I don't know if it's called a ruck. I think it's called a ruck. Where it's like almost looks like a stretcher, but it's got the handles that poke out each side, so it's got four handles on the ends.
Yes.
And we had one person on each side of that, four people carrying it, and we had also 55-pound weights inside of a big backpack with more stuff in it. So we were carrying a lot of weight around today.
Wow. Now, did he have to do the same thing and do the mile and a half too, or did he just get to be carried around?
He got half of the ride. He just got to be carried. And then we ended up swapping him out for someone a little lighter. They let us do that afterwards.
That was nice of them.
That was very nice of them because Chris was extremely heavy, which is great. That's great for blocking people. It's just not great for carrying, you know, like over a mile. That's not very fun, but it was a great workout. And then we got to go in some teams and we did some different lines. And we had another sort of relay competition that was involved with different military things with weighted bags, you know, army crawling and different things like that on their training, part of their training facility, big turf area. So it was really cool to see.
Sounds amazing. So how many hours did you spend out there at Fort Bliss?
We spent about 3 hours out there, and then after we got done working out, we got to take a pretty cool picture with all of them, with the tanks lined up next to each other, with the barrels of the guns crossing out of it. And then they had what they called the petting zoo, which was all the different tanks and different types of artillery lined up that we got to go walk around, check out, see, and they were kind of explaining how it works, their training, different things. I got to look through one piece of equipment that, for lack of a better term, it was a big scope that had, it almost looked like thermal type sighting. It was black and white, and then I was looking at a car I can't even tell you how many yards away, and it was, I was looking at the Honda logo like as if it was right in front of my face, and it tells you the exact coordinates of where people are in the earth and things like that. It was pretty cool to see. There was a lot that was going on today. Great workout, a lot of information given, and it was cool just to be able to go out and kind of have a respect for each other. You know, they were telling us how much they loved, you know, UTEP football, and we were like, thank you so much for serving our country and allowing us to come out and kind of see what you guys do.
Sounds like you get a whole new appreciation for the military after getting a chance to spend a day to see what their life is like, training for you know, combat and everything that they're a part of.
You do. You have a huge appreciation for what those guys do, and you understand that they do a lot more than, you know, what meets the eye. There's a lot of stuff that goes into what they do in the background. And the other thing too is, you know, while you're running or while you're carrying somebody and you have a second to talk, you know, they're not that much older than us or they're around our age. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see somebody that's kind of doing what you do. And there's a lot of similarities between the military and the Army and football. And so you kind of got to bond over that and talk with some guys that, you know, maybe you met somebody new today and you never thought you would. Nice. And it was cool to be able to go out and kind of get with them.
Love that. 28 past the hour as we continue. Before we go to SportsCenter, here's Luis, who joins us next on the phone lines. Luis, how are you?
Happy Father's Day, brother. How was your day? Beautiful?
It was excellent. Thank you for asking. And yours? Well, first off, you must have had a great early start to your week because you got to celebrate a Celtics championship last night.
La Dolce Vita. La Dolce Vita. Like you said, I've been a Celtic and a Cowboy and a Yankee fan since 1960, man. Let me tell you, those guys, I mean, I don't know if it was a perfect game. It might not be. But, hey, man, Jason Tatum, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and what's the guy's name from Dominican Republic? What is the name?
Are you talking? I don't know who you're talking about there, Luis.
You talking about a player?
Yeah.
From the Dominican?
Horford?
It starts with an H.
It's Al Horford.
Al Horford?
Yeah, I guess it's Horford.
I didn't realize Al Horford's from the Dominican Republic.
Yes, he is.
Interesting.
First player from Dominican Republic to win the NBA title. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Yes,
good sir. Job. He played his college ball at Florida. Gator Richard probably would have been calling in telling us he played from the Dominican Republic. That's good. Well, listen, you got an exciting team. They're probably going to all be back next year. A lot of reasons to get, to be ready to go for the 2025 season.
Yeah, super. I'll finish with this. Also very excited that Garrett Cole is going to start on Wednesday, right?
Yes, back on Wednesday. The Yankees could use him for sure.
Well, let's hope that they beat the Orioles and start beating them tonight. And again, the best to you. We are millionaires. We have health. We have the best family. And blessings to your kids and to your wife and to your family.
Appreciate you, Luis. Take care and enjoy that championship. And thanks for the phone call. Bottom of the hour. We got 1 hour to go here on Sports Talk. Before we continue, let's get right back over to Michael Plundo, standing by with another SportsCenter update. Past the hour as we continue, Paul Cicala will be calling in any minute. I hear they're off the air in a few, so we might get Paul to chime in and call the hotline and let us know about the Burger Challenge for Cholitos, which I'll be excited to hear about. Again, all of our calls on the show appear via the Longhorn Distributing Hotline here on Sports Talk as we continue. Meanwhile, Cade is back. Hey, you filmed a TV commercial recently for Wind Supply El Paso that should be coming out soon. Tell me what that experience was like for you.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you so much to the guys over at Wind Supply, both to Renee and Rebecca. Both of them were awesome. And the guys that came out and filmed. It was a really cool experience. It was nice. I've never filmed a commercial before, so to go out and to get to represent people who love to support UTEP athletics and UTEP football was awesome, and it was cool to go out. You know, we were on the field for a little bit of it, and then we were back on a different scene. I'll kind of leave it at that, wait for it to come out. But it was cool to kind of go and experience that, and I had a really good time doing it.
Did you have a speaking role?
I did. There was a couple lines. You know, I'm not giving a monologue, Steve, but I do have a couple lines in there.
Do you feel like next we'll be getting a SAG card? Because I understand they are filming a movie downtown. Heard that today. There's a big movie production downtown. Rumor has it Leonardo DiCaprio could be coming here.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's big time.
That is big time. If it's true, that is big time.
Well, I'm sure I missed the casting for this, but I have said this, Steve.
You could be an extra.
At some point in my life,
let me tell you something.
I want to be on a movie set. I really do.
I got news for you. Go downtown. Go check out the set. Just look around. Let Hollywood take a look at you, and then we'll see what happens. Go from there.
I would love to. I know you guys. You guys know everybody in this city. Don't you know somebody that's going to be working on that movie downtown?
Nope. Not a single person. Gosh. Not a soul. Adrian, do you feel, though, if Cade just wanders down?
Wait. I think I've got this.
In the film, in the area, and just shows up, just kind of curious. Is it? And then, you know, somebody talks to him. Is it possible? Is it possible?
I'm going to say no, but I'll counter it with a different idea, okay? Because I think we got to approach it a different way, okay? You and I will go up full suits in 100-degree blazing weather. We'll take Cade with us. Cade is going to go as casual as possible, and we're going to go in like we know what we're doing. We're going to go right up to them, and we're going to say, oh, Cade's here. They're going to say, who? We say, Cade McConnell.
Do you really think that the Hollywood suits are even wearing suits these days, and when it's 100 degrees outside in El Paso, don't you feel like they're probably more in slacks and a polo shirt, even a T-shirt, versus going full suit?
You're right. That's why Cade's the casual one. We're the entourage. We're like the entourage around him. And so the Hollywood will see that and be like, wow, this guy, let's put him in on an extra on this scene.
Do you think that could be the case?
Instead, I think we could go, I want you to take the headphones that you both are wearing right now. Mm-hmm. I want you to plug them into something or just put them in your pocket as if you have headphones on, like you're doing something on the set. And then I need some more camera and film type of equipment that you're going to make it look like you know exactly what's going on. You're just going to wave me through as I walk through and just.
Oh.
You know what the other idea is, right? Here's the other idea. I mean, this is a simple one. Go to the Plaza Hotel. Mm-hmm. Go hang out at the bar. For the next couple nights.
Oh, my God.
See who walks in.
Best idea.
And just be yourself. Be friendly. Mingle. And the next thing you know,
Leo are just having a couple. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you got to call Scotty and say, listen, Scotty, I got a bit of a problem with workouts today. I got a new friend of mine that I'm going to be joining on set, and maybe you've heard of him. You know, he's in a few multi-billion dollar movies, and then you go from there.
Okay, here's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think, I mean, I could probably answer this myself. I just want to know what you guys would think. I have to walk up to Coach Walden one of these mornings. Hey, Leonardo DiCaprio asked me, hey, we were at the Plaza Hotel. We started talking. Next thing you know, one thing leads to another. He's like, oh, there's this one scene I would love to throw you in. I'm a producer and I'm an executive director on this film as well. I would love to throw you in there. Let's just do this one scene, but there's workouts the next day. Is Coach letting me film it? Am I allowed to miss the workout?
I would say yes. If you tell him who it's with and the circumstances, I think he'd give you a pass. Adrian, do you think he would, or do you think say no?
Nebraska's right around the corner, man.
That's true. It's June 18th.
I don't know, man.
It's June 18th.
If we were talking December 30th or something like that, or you know, January 15th or something, I don't know, man.
Listen. Go downtown for the next couple nights.
Right.
Just hang out at the hotel bar.
When do they get here? You know?
They're here already.
Okay.
They already blocked off all of downtown today, and they were shooting.
I see.
It's already here.
Okay.
So if I were you, that's what I would do. Do I know who's here yet? I don't.
Right.
But I've heard that we could have Leo coming to town. So that's the rumor, okay? But the point is, you know, you've got a better shot being in the right place, right time, than anything else.
It's true. I want to close the chapter of this, you know, hypothetical real quick with, I don't think that Coach Walden would let me. I would like to add on top of that that I would not miss a mandatory thing for football in order to do something that I have not committed to.
Can I just bring up one more thing, though?
Sure, okay? Sure.
In 1973, there was a minor league baseball player playing for the El Paso Sun Kings who was batting about, I don't know, 390. Gets hurt. Mm. Has a significant knee injury. Rather than rehab and continue the season, he went to his backup plan, which was acting, because there was a movie role that he was going to be getting in, and decided he'll give up baseball to go back into the family job. You know who we're talking about?
No.
Take a guess.
The last time I took a guess earlier in the show was so off.
Kurt Russell.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Having a great year in El Paso when he got hurt. Great year. Not to say he could have played for the Angels or whoever they were affiliated with in those days, but there was a possibility, had he kept hitting, he would have had a chance to get up from AA to AAA and then possibly to the bigs.
That's
instead,
awesome.
Instead, he starred and he married Goldie Hawn, and the rest is history. So, all right.
Kate, I'll tell you this. There's a good track record of former college players or whomever going into acting. There's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. There's Burt Reynolds, Mark Hammond. There's a lot of great examples of people who have played football at one point and then go off into acting. Terry Crews is in this conversation.
Fred Dreyer
well.
Played for the Rams and became Hunter.
There
he
you
was
go.
Huge. All right, look.
OJ.
Oh, God. You had to do that, didn't you? You had to do that. All right. We hope Sikala will be calling in a minute. Let's take the break, see if we can keep him on the lines, because I know he's got a 6 o'clock news to get to, and maybe we can get Paul for a few to talk about that Cholito's challenge. We'll see what happens next. The sports talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. First off, the strategy. I like the strategy. If you ate the fries first and then tried to eat the burger, that would be a bigger challenge. You probably figured, okay, let me knock the hard stuff out first and then try to get those fries down towards the end. As the 30 minutes was expiring, did you ever consider switching gears and going to the fries and just trying to get it all done? Or was there a point where you just knew you had no chance to get this thing finished?
I will be truthful with you. I think that it wasn't a time factor. I was pacing myself well, and by the time I got to the fries, it was probably about 2 minutes left. I could have crunched those babies up. I could have downed them, but I was already filling all the food up to my chest, and I don't want to gross the viewers out, but I know that had I forced down those fries in the effort of winning, I probably would have thrown up afterwards. And since I was doing a story dealing with it, that's the last thing I want to do on camera.
Yeah, that makes sense. Paul Sikala with us right now. He's got a newscast in 10 minutes, and he just finished the 4 and the 5. That's how busy he is right now. Have you ever done a food challenge before, or is this the first one?
No, this is the first one, and truthfully, I was doing it more on a group of content creators here in El Paso. It's called Della Story, and they're on Instagram and TikTok, and they had done something on the Cholito Challenge that went viral and got almost 1 million views, so I said, all right, I'm going to do a feature story, and I do a segment called People, Places, and Paul, where I try to find some of the positives here in El Paso, and that's exactly what they do on their site at Della Story, showing all the positive stuff around the borderland, and I figured, you know, I'm going to feature them, but since this is something that went viral, I'm also going to try the Cholito Challenge myself, and I included one of the members of Della Story, Cesar Jaquez, in it as well, so he was at it as well, and, you know, it was a good story, it was a good feature story, and if you haven't seen it, just go to KVIA.com, or better yet, I did an extended version on my YouTube page, and all you have to do is go to YouTube and type in Paul Sikala, Border Reporter, and you will see that People, Places, and Paul. It's lots of fun.
By the way, impressions of the burgers itself, because you ate 3 pounds of meat in half an hour.
Yeah, no,
so how was the burger?
Now, the first few bites were delicious, but once you start realizing that you're trying to get that whole thing down within 30 minutes, I'd say 5 or 6 minutes into it, you forget about the taste, and you're just tasting saltiness and grease and the whole nine yards. So my suggestion is anybody and everybody should try it. And I think it's only just over $50. Think about it. That's a deal. When you have over 9 burgers in one, plus that Mexican soda, all those fries, you know, you divide that up between 50. That's like only $6 each a burger. So if you can't finish it, just take the rest home with you. I mean, it's worth it. And if you finish it, you get it free and you get on the wall. So it wasn't bad. But as you had mentioned before, I didn't really necessarily have a strategy, but I told myself I'm going to go for the burger first so at least I can brag and say I completed the burger challenge at least. Not the entire thing, but I ate the entire burger. But, you know, it was hard with those fries as well.
Did you go on an empty stomach?
I did go on an empty stomach. I'll give you a little secret. I was afraid it would work against me. I do that intermittent fasting stuff, so I only eat for breakfast, like a banana or something, and then I skip lunch every day and I eat a sensible dinner. And so I figured that my body's not used to taking in that much food, and it would work against me. And who knows? I don't know the science behind it. Maybe scientifically that worked to my advantage. Who knows? Because they said that, you know, I'm further than 90% of the people that ever try. Most people can't even complete the burger. And everybody thought I was going to finish. And they were like, do it up, do it up. When the fries were on the plate. But in my mind, I was like, I am going to end up throwing up if I force these down. But, you know, during the original story, so to say, on Della Stories Instagram, they had offered $200 to the person if they could finish it as well. If I knew I was going to get $200, I guarantee I would have downed those fries. It would have been physically possible, but I didn't feel like dealing with the repercussions.
Yeah.
I had to anchor the newscast afterwards at 10, and I'm telling you, I was putting a fake smile on the entire time because I was feeling it throughout the newscast, and I will admit to you, when I got home later that night, I could not sleep, and I was feeling the vomit, if you will. I don't want to gross anybody else out anymore, but I was feeling it all night and early into the next morning. I just felt super unhealthy, so... it was worth taking the challenge, but you got to be prepared for the aftermath, that's for sure.
Paul Cicala getting ready to come up at 6 o'clock on the 6 o'clock news on KVIA. Will you be doing any more?
And to interrupt you, we don't have a 6 o'clock because of the Stanley Cup. It's on ABC. So luckily, we're not on until right after the Stanley Cup finals. So I'm not good. I'm not under this crazy deadline anymore.
Will the Panthers finish them off tonight, or will we see a Game 6 back in Edmonton?
You can answer that question more than me because I'm going to admit to you that I have not been following the Stanley Cup because usually we've been airing it, and then in between our 5 o'clock and then the Stanley Cup games, and then we have a special version around 9 or so, I'm usually out working on a story, so I haven't had a chance to really even watch. So I'm going to guess that the Panthers will finish it just because you kind of said that.
Okay, well, we'll see. Well, listen, if it's like the NBA Finals, there's your answer, because you saw what the Celtics did last night to the Mavs.
Exactly. And I wanted to go 7 games just because it's probably better for rating for ABC, and I work for ABC, and, you know, we probably have a lot of carryover viewers who maybe may not always watch the newscast to keep it on after the game. So, yeah, you want the series to go 7. You hope it does, but we'll see where it goes.
I hope you go back to Cholito's, order a regular burger, savor it, and realize, and hopefully you don't have PTSD. That's another thing, is I'm always worried that, you know, you might be thinking about that 9, you know, those 9 patties the next time you're back there.
You know what? I don't think I will, because I know that the first few tastes were delicious, and the fries were seasoned perfectly, because I was eating some of the fries as I would go along and everything. And obviously those Mexican sodas, they taste better than the ones on this side of the border. They use different sugar there and all the whole nine yards with the sugar cane and such. But no, I want to go back and I want to try them. And I've heard actually that Cholito's is also known for their tortas, that they have really good tortas and other sandwiches as well. So no, I don't think so. And I'm actually looking forward to going back to Cholito's and trying one. And truth be told, because I'm such a competitive person, I might go on one of my days off where I know I don't have anything else to do, and I might try to complete that challenge again, because I want to get up on that wall of fame, because I knew I could have done it. I seriously know that in my heart of hearts I would have done it, but I know that I wouldn't have wanted to suffer the repercussions afterwards, especially when there's a camera rolling on me.
What if you do an intense workout before the challenge and you burn some more calories, and then you show up not only hungry, but feeling like maybe you've got a little more room because your metabolism is rolling?
Well, you know more about science than me then. If that strategically works, I will do it. I had no idea. I didn't even have a chance to really Google it, because I thought, you know, okay, because I'm going on an empty stomach, I hadn't eaten lunch, but the fact that I don't eat lunch regularly, I figured it might work against me. So I don't know. And if you say that helps, then I think that is what will get me over the hump if I try that challenge again. I think you should try it.
Paul, I'm 51 years old. I can't eat that stuff. Are you kidding me?
I just turned 50, my friend. I just turned 50. If me, somebody that's, you know, that does the fasting, so to say, that doesn't even eat lunch and eats a sensible dinner, only eats like a banana for breakfast, if I could get that far, I know you can too, my friend. And right. Look at the eating contest too. Even guys like, you know, Joey Chestnut, he's probably pushing mid-40s, 50. Also, they're all skinny too, so... So, you know, you never know. I bet you could do it if you really wanted.
Kobayashi just retired because of brain damage. We don't want that to be us. That can't be us, Paul. So, no.
Okay,
no.
I had no idea. I knew that there were some health reasons. I didn't realize it was brain damage. That scares me now. Wow. Yeah. I don't know if I want to try it again now.
By the way, a month after he said he had brain damage, he's back against Chestnut in September on Netflix doing hot dogs. So that goes to show you that money will buy anything, Paul. Money will take care of anything. That's right.
And speaking of money, I mean, I will say it again. At Cholito's, I think for like $50... That is not a bad deal when you consider that you have like 9 hamburgers there. And if you're feeling after, the first 10 minutes, you're not going to win that challenge, guess what? You could take all that food home with you and you have lunch for a week.
Or bring 4 friends and let them finish it after you're done eating. And you're good to go.
That's actually a better strategy. That's a good idea.
Happy belated 50th. Good for you. We'll see you soon. And always appreciate the time having you talk a little bit on the show with us.
No. And as always, it's always an honor. I'm a big fan of your station. And even... anytime I would come back, even when I left El Paso and I would come back to visit El Paso, I always made sure to put it on 600 AM. I'm just bummed that I don't get to listen to your show as much anymore because it's right in the heart of my work day, in between our 4 o'clock and our 5 o'clock newscast and 6 o'clock newscast. So, I don't know. It's kind of tough, but I'm going to have to – you have a podcast, right? I can get it online, right?
You can, yes. I actually talked about you a couple of weeks ago. I talked about you a couple of weeks ago when you cleared your throat in the middle of a newscast on our show.
Oh, my gosh. I think I remember that. Okay, hopefully I can go to your guys' website and find that so I can find the blooper, the radio blooper myself.
That's fantastic. That works out great.
We do our reports, at the top of the hour, I believe, for you guys as well sometimes. So at least you can get those blooper free. But it's an honor to be on with you, Steve, as always, and thank you for having me. And don't forget, if anybody hasn't seen it, seriously, it's a good, creative, fun story. You can go to KVIA.com. And you have the extended story, which I think is a lot funnier, on my YouTube site, which is just go to YouTube and just Paul Sikala Border Reporter, and you will find it. Click subscribe, and you can help a brother out.
I'll look forward to checking out the extended version myself tonight. And again, thanks for calling in, Paul. Good job.
No, you too, man. Have a blessed day. Thanks again.
Paul Sikala with us, folks, here on Sports Talk. Let's run the ID since we're at the top of the hour, and then we'll come back final 30 minutes next right here at 600 ESPN El Paso.
Streaming worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. 600 ESPN El Paso. He's KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
Good evening, Adrian brought us here with your SportsCenter update for 600 ESPN El Paso. We're getting out to some Chihuahuas baseball here, bottom of the hour, out in El Paso, taking on the Sugarland Space Cowboys. Our very own Tim Haggerty will be on the call. We'll have you covered right here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's go over to some news out of baseball today. The Astros placed righty Justin Verlander on a 15-day IL today due to neck discomfort. The three-time Young Cy Award winner was scratched from Saturday's scheduled start against the Tigers. He's 41 years old and hasn't pitched since June 9th when he allowed four runs in a 9-7 loss to the Angels. The nine-time All-Star is 3-2 with a 3.95 ERA and 10 starts this season. More injury news to get to out of baseball today. Yankees first baseman Anthony Rizzo is expected to miss at least 8 weeks after fracturing his right forearm. It was announced Tuesday. Rizzo, who was placed on the injured list, said that he'll probably go 4 or 5 weeks without any sort of baseball activities. Back to the baseball scoreboard we go. A lot of games going on currently right now. Cardinals and Marlins in a great one. 7-7. End of the sixth inning in this matchup. Going over to Pittsburgh, Reds up 2-0 against the Pirates, top of the seventh of that game. Over to Philly, the Phillies up 1-0 against the Padres, bottom of the fifth of that matchup. Over to the Mariners, who have a 6-1 advantage over the Guardians at the bottom of the fifth. Bottom of the fifth out in D.C. as well. Diamondbacks lead the Nationals 4-0. Yankees up 1-0 against the Orioles at the bottom of the third, and that one is on TBS as the nationally televised game of the night. That's a look at your SportsCenter update. I'm Adrian Broaddus.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Back here on Sports Talk as we continue, final 20-plus minutes on the show. Loved having Paul Cigala on. Spent the last 5 minutes talking about how he cleared his throat in the middle of a radio broadcast with us, and he started laughing, talking about it. He's like, I remember it. He goes, you know, he's just talking about being on Deadline and stuff, and we're having a good time. It was fun. I can't believe Paul Cigala is just a year younger than me. Man, telling you. He looks good, and he tried that burger challenge, nearly finished it. I have a feeling Cade's going to do it. I mean, the more you sat listening to that interview, the more I think you're doing the challenge.
I feel like it's just a good challenge, number one, but I feel like number two, like he said, it's not a bad deal.
No, it's a good deal.
So if you go and get it and you don't finish it, number one, like he said, you could take it home, or you can go there and you can have people around you to assist. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I think I want to go to Cholitos really bad anyway now, and now I want to try the challenge because good. Now I feel like I'm up for it. And I'm really hungry right now, so I'm getting a little more confidence in myself.
By the way, I'm curious about this because you mentioned, you know, going this morning, working out with the team out of Fort Bliss and some of the things you're doing this summer. How many days do you work out every day of the week, or do you only work out, let's say, 5 of the 7 days? What's your schedule like right now?
Like actual working out with the team, it is 5 days a week. Usually it ends up being 6 because on Saturdays I'll do something. But, I mean, that's not truly a workout. We truly work out and, you know, do a real tough day Monday through Friday. Yeah. And some of those are voluntarily player-led stuff. And that we do on our own.
Yeah.
But it's Monday through Friday that we do those, you know, real hardcore. And then Saturday is usually a take care of your body day for me. Try to get it right to go back on Monday.
Any chance you might skip out in the next couple of weeks and go to Egypt for a ayahuasca session and just kind of blow things off a little bit for the summer workouts?
Yeah, I don't think I have that much pull. So I'm going to have to pass on that one. But it does sound adventurous.
What's your take on what Aaron Rodgers is doing with the Jets and saying he's missing the mandatory camp? He's gone to every voluntary camp since he's been there. But this one, which was the actual 2 or 3 day mandatory camp, said that he's already gotten permission to skip out and miss because he's out in Egypt. And somebody claims it's something with a ayahuasca thing.
Here's the thing. There's part of me that says that the tenure of Aaron Rodgers and what he's been able to do, you get to do and have, you know, great exceptions like that. And there's the other part of me that says that if you're going to be a leader of a team, then, you know, I don't remember Brady missing anything like that. Yeah. You know, I don't remember Brady missing any mandatory time. I remember him being there even when it was voluntary. So I guess at the end of the day, no one's going to remember whether or not he missed the, you know, 3-day mandatory camp if they are going to the playoffs this year. So we're talking about it now. We won't be talking about it if they're in the playoffs.
Let's talk about something that's even more bizarre and weirder than this, okay? If you can imagine, what's weirder than your starting quarterback going to Egypt and skipping out on mandatory camp? How about a former NFL head coach at 72 years of age who's dating a 24-year-old former cheerleader? Let's talk about Bill Belichick and what he's doing right now.
Bill, I mean, she watched him during the roast at Tom Brady's roast and liked what she saw. Is that where we're
apparently
going?
Well, you heard what Rob Gronkowski heard, that joke at the roast, right?
Yeah, I did.
He's
I did.
Scouting the high schools. Well,
that's
So Gronk knew he was dating that 24-year-old because that joke was a line that nobody at the time really picked up on, but now a couple of weeks later, everybody realizes why Gronk made that joke to Belichick.
Have we found out? Have we seen who it is yet? Can you
She's a 24-year-old cheerleader.
I haven't seen yet. I need to go and
find
out.
I'll send this to you.
Yeah, just you know, search Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Look at Bill.
By the way, just out of curiosity, Alberto, before we go to Alberto, and I want to go to the one guy that I know will give me a great answer, Michael Plundo. Michael, give me your thoughts on 72-year-old Bill Belichick dating a 24-year-old former cheerleader.
I'm going to be honest, Steve. This is the first I'm hearing about this. I did not hear about this prior to the show or anything. I just talking with Adrian about it. So I'm still in shock and disbelief about this because I thought this was just a, you know, silly little rumor that someone made on Twitter. I didn't actually take it seriously, but I'm kind of in awe right now. But, I mean, hey, good for Bill. I mean, she's a cheerleader, so, you know.
Okay, so you had no idea, but now you've decided after looking at this, you've seen this, so you're okay with it, you know.
I'm all right with it. I mean, you know.
By the way, according to a report from Fox News, so we don't know if this is really true, but the rumor is his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, they've been dating for quite some time, but apparently their first meeting ended with Belichick writing a note in her college textbook. How about that?
I saw this.
How about that pickup line?
My goodness.
Yes. He said back in 2021, so this is, 3.5 years ago, Jordan, thanks for giving me a course on logic. Safe travels is what he wrote.
I was unfamiliar with his game.
Man.
And then he puts the Super Bowls underneath.
So apparently the, listen to this. Apparently the two met on an airplane to Boston. At the time, Hudson was attending Bridgewater State University, roughly 20 miles from Gillette Stadium. But the following year, after Belichick's breakup with Linda Holiday, they became romantically linked. They chatted up, started exchanging contact information, and Belichick was spotted at a cheerleading competition in support of Hudson at National Harbor, Maryland.
Wow.
A supportive boyfriend. Wow.
What a guy, right?
She was also a supportive girlfriend. She had apparently attended all the 2021 and 2022 games for the Patriots.
That I did not know.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
So
secretly, she did.
She stayed with him even after those seasons.
Adrian, any issues at all with Belichick dating a 24-year-old?
Why would you? Why would you have? I mean, hey, I was unfamiliar with his game. You know, this is what you want to do during retirement. Go public with your relationship. Go for it, man.
I hear you. It's funny. I was talking on Buzz's show this morning, and he said, and Buzz is a few years older than I am, and I already told you I'm 51. And Buzz said he could never see himself dating a 24-year-old. Because as he put it, he just doesn't think that they would be developed physically and mentally like some of the older ladies that he would like to go after.
So he needs like drama or like he needs like somebody with baggage or something like that? Like what is he saying?
Maybe that's what it sounds like. Oh, Kate and Alberto can't stop laughing. You guys, Alberto, don't you almost want to go on Buzz's show tomorrow and ask him about that?
Yeah, what do you mean they're not physically, they're not, what do you mean, Buzz? What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
ask him that.
I don't know. I mean, 24 is, I mean, you would figure that, you know, I don't know how much more development they would have after 24. Do you?
My goodness.
No, do you?
No, but I mean, hey, Bill didn't miss. He didn't miss.
No, I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
Kicked right through the uprights.
No, yeah, I'm giving him props.
All right.
She looks like mature for her age. It was a logic class, right?
It was a logic class. First off, I don't know. I mean, they're on a plane together, so maybe she was studying logic in a textbook, and Bill was giving her some logic tips. Could be the case.
Probably.
By the way, 24 is young, but it's not like young. Like that's 19, out. I mean, that's out of college. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
you could
be working on a master's.
Right, like so that's, like, yeah, you're...
It's not super young.
Right.
No.
18, 19.
No.
20 even, that's like, whoa.
Even like 21, that's still like on the younger side. Like 24 is like post-college age.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand. I just was curious to get your thoughts on this. We'll get Haggerty's thoughts on this in a little bit because Tim is from the Boston area, so I really want to get his thoughts on what Bill Belichick is doing. You know, all of us want to hear what Hags has to say about this. This is going to be great stuff.
How old's Hags?
Hags is probably just over 40.
Okay.
So, yeah, he'll be able to weigh in on this.
Okay.
So, all right. More in a moment as Sports Talk continues. First, let's get one last traffic update from Charlie One.